obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.
Hi, everybody. My name's Don Norman. I'm an alcoholic. And wait a minute. Just a minute. I'm gonna lie. Shit, fuck it. I was captured by some gypsies long ago in Africa, and they snuck me over the United States. They made me drink wine and turned me into a lush, and that's what happened, Donald Ortiz. Shit. Anyway, I am really happy to be up here living sober. When they called me up and asked me to come, I cracked up. I thought, now I'm up here. This is the third time I've been to living sober. You know, if you stay sober a long time, you have to keep repeating shit, you know? So this is the third time I've been to living sober, and this is the first time I've been to it at this fabulous hotel. When we drove up or came up around the bar, we didn't drive, and I saw the hotel. I said, ooh, San Francisco peed, honey. You know, this is fabulous, you know. We used to be out down at this big old place, the Graham or something, Civic Auditorium, big old place. There used to be thousands of people in there and everything. And we'd be over there just having the best old time. One of the things that I was laughing about was, you know, when everybody's reading, you know, the steps, and they started with a one, and then they go, shh. You know, everything. Well, what happened was that some people thought it would be funny to say the numbers as they went along. Well, they would say it, and then these other people here that were bitter queens would go. And they would go, shh. And so, you know, it just made it worse, you know. And I just said, yeah, you just do whatever they do. You know, now they do it down in L.A. Shh. And there's some bitter queens there looking, you know. You know, we are here to have a good time. We have been miserable already. You know, that's how we made it here, miserable. I got to talk fast because I'm 75. I was born in 1935. I'm 31 years clean and sober. And so I got to talk fast so we can get out of here too, you know. But anyway, I was a nice little Christian Negro boy. Yeah. If you just saw me, say, what a nice boy you have, Miss Norman. They'd smile, and my daddy would pat us on the head. Come on, Chucky and Donald. And I had a little sister, and I was so glad to get a sister. I can tell you what happened. You know, my brother's gay, and I'm gay. You know, when you're in my family, they don't even mention it. It's not even talked about. You know, it's just like, that's what you are. No, that's Donald. You know, it's no big thing. But they wouldn't let me have a doll. You know, and so I prayed diligently. I would pray, oh God, could I please have a baby sister? Oh, please let me have a baby sister. You know, and God didn't get one for a long time. I got mad at God. One time I said, see, God don't even care if I get a baby sister or not. Anyway, my mother got pregnant and had my sister, and so I had a doll. That, you can imagine what we did with her. Me and my brother fighting over my sister. I'm going to do her hair. No, I'm going to do her hair. Wear this. Put this dress on. Oh, no, put this dress. You know, we want it. That's what it was. She turned out to be a terrible bitch, but but, you know, that's the way they go. Anyway, I was a nice little kid. I grew up in L.A. I was born there. Actually, I was born on Bill Wilson's AA birthday. On December the 11th, 1934, Bill Wilson got sober, and I was born on December 11th, 1935. Very significant to me, you know. AA started in 1935. You know what? I thought they were getting ready, you know. So Anyway, I was a nice kid. I played. I was always on the team. I played good kickball. I played baseball. I could play volleyball. Oh, excellent. And I was good at tetherball. I like playing. I love recess. I like noontime. I just had a good time. And I was trained by some lesbians. I had a lesbian cousin. So they would not let you just get away with people calling you a sissy. You know, if they call you a sissy, you have to kick their ass. You know, and here you are, a little scared sissy, but you have to kick their ass, you know. It came in handy later on. Anyway, you know, I'm a nice kid. I went all through school. I was in all the student body organizations. You know, I was popular and everything. And, you know, I was a captain of teams. I get to pick teams. So I hear kids say, "Now I was on the good game, and I was always picked last." Well, yes, because you couldn't play good. We didn't want you to play. We wanted to win, honey. You're an awkward ass would get us. We'd lose. But we still liked you. You know, we'd be your friend later, get some food or something. Anyway, I represented L.A. at the United Nations. I was selected to go to Washington, D.C. and represent. So, you know, they're thinking, Donald, oh, he is, you know, my mother's proud, my daddy's proud, and, you know, my family, and Donald's so good. And anyway, there was this part of me that wanted to get loose. I wanted to be, you know, you see people, grown-ups, I don't know if you saw them, but grown-ups looked like they could do whatever they wanted. They could stay out late at night. They could stay, you know, they come home and you'd hear your cousins, the big cousins come home and say, "Girl, we went to the Barrel House last night and we had a ball," and they pop their fingers and fall out. You know? Honey, I wanted to get to the Barrel House, too. You know, they had a club that they would come back and talk about. It was called the Bucket of Blood. Now, you know that sounds bad. Ooh, the Bucket of Blood. And you know what they're doing in the Bucket of Blood. They're doing it. Ooh, hey, so, you know. And by this time, I'm in heat. You know, I've gone into heat. Yeah. You know, everybody, you all went into it, too. You know, so I'm in heat, and I want to see these boys, and I want to get out and everything, and they made us stay home. You couldn't stay out late at night. You had to come home at 10 o'clock, and, you know, everything started happening at 12, you know, and I couldn't wait to get big enough. As soon as I got taller than my daddy, I was ready, and because they would hit you, too. I grew up where they would hit you. You would get your ass whipped. They'd slap fire out of you and tell you, "I will knock all the black off of you if you come in here like that." You know, so your life was in jeopardy at all times. But now I'm big, you know, so I can go. And I started running and going out in the alley and everything. And when you're out in the alley, those kids that didn't go to church on Sunday would look like they were having a lot of fun. So you go look them up, and they're drinking wine and stuff. So, you know, you croak, 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 hey. And they snatch the bottle from me, you know, and I want a whole bottle. So I'm thinking, I want a whole bottle of wine. And so I've got me a bottle of port wine. I stole it from the Japanese store. And I went down to the Westlake Theater, which is by the park, and we went to see Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman. It was Halloween. And so I drank my bottle of wine. Hey, hey, hey. And I'm going to the theater, and we get upstairs in the balcony. All the kids were up there. And next thing I know, my cousin Doreen's telling me, "Come on, Donald, let's go. We have to go home." And I said, "Go home? When's the show going to start?" She said, "It's over. You already saw it." I didn't even mention that ever again. I said, "Tell nobody you didn't see the show and you were sitting there, you know." But anyway, that's what got started. I'm starting to run the streets and, you know, be run around Los Angeles. They had all these places, the gay bars. And, you know, I was ready for the gay bars. I knew they were there. You know, it's like my mother and father had a lot of gay friends. And when you went to the beach at Santa Monica, there was the black people were here on the grass. It was called Inkwell. And all the black people were there at the beach. And right next to them were was the gay beach called Crystal Beach. And those of you that are old remember that. You were there watching Aggie Deuce playing that. And boom, 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 boom. And oh, it was like heaven. Anyway, I couldn't wait to do that. I'm running to the gay bar, drinking. You know, after the bar closed, they say, what's that they say? Last call for alcohol. Ooh, you know, you get nervous because, yeah. You know, so everybody gets six packs and head off to the houses we'd have possibly dance and stuff. Anyway, I'm at City College one day and I met this boy and he was fine. He was just fine. He looked like George, except he had gray eyes, and he, anyway, he said, let's join the Air Force as buddies, and I thought he said, let's get married. So there I am, swearing to protect the country from enemies and foes. I'm hungover. You know how you're hungover. The hot sun was beating on me. And I'm in the Air Force accidentally, you know. So there I am, and I didn't like it at all. I thought it was horrible. It was the worst thing in the world. They were worse than my mother. They would make you clean all the time and dust. Oh, it was silly, you know. And then I got into fights because they had never met people from California. We were all from San Francisco, L.A., and they would yell at us and say derogatory terms to us. And if they got close enough, you know, they would use slurs, ethnic slurs and stuff. And so I'd beat them up. And so I told you I was trained by lesbians, honey, and I would... You know, after you whip their ass, now go tell your mother who whipped you. So, anyway, they wouldn't give me a stripe. They said I was something, and I didn't care. Yeah. But they said, we're going to put you in the police department. And they made me a policeman in the Air Force. And so here I am, a policeman. I hated the cops. I hated the police. Oh, God. You know, it does something to you, you know, to be a policeman. You know, and so anyway, they march us around and train you to shoot weapons and arrest people and everything. And they ship me to Alaska. And, yeah. Alaska, I'm from L.A. You know, I had never seen ice in my life except ice cubes. You know, that's all you see, ice cubes. And snow hitting you in the nose, your nose freezes, snot comes out, it's frozen in you. It's horrible. The only thing good about it, the uniform was really cute. And I liked that part. And you had a gun, too. That was cute, too. There wasn't no messing with me, because, you know, there was no more ethnic slurs said, I'll tell you that. Anyway, they kicked me out for being gay, and I was so happy. You know, there was something... You know, some people would be unhappy. I was glad. I was, you know, think, well, it's insulting, but I'm going back home. And I got back home, went to work at the county hospital, and it was my first grown-up job. I'm working at the county hospital, I was really cute then. You know, I had tight booty buster pants on, you know, and you're working and pushing this thing around. And I worked in this office called the dispatch office, and in the dispatch office, all the pills from all over the world came into this office, and... They were there for the doctors. You know, doctors get samples. You cannot imagine how much. And there's a lot of stacks and stacks of pills and everything. And I'm reading them and, you know, oh, do you suffer from anxiety and depression? Yes, I have that. Do you have narcolepsy? Oh, yeah, I do. So... There I am taking all these pills and and drinking at night. And then Boogie came around one day with some joints. And so I smoked the weed. You know how you I don't know about you, but my eyelashes got real long and glittery. And I'm just like my girl said, I'm going to smoke this shit the rest of my life. So there I am, smoking weed, taking pills, running the streets of Hollywood, being gay as a Christmas Eve party, honey, and just living, you know. And then you get captured by the police. Click, oh, click, click. There you go to jail.
To obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.
They didn't think you should be so gay, and they didn't think you should smoke weed, and they didn't think you should blah, 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 and they'd take you to jail, and so you'd go to jail, and they put you in jail back in the day. Back in 1959, I got 6 months in the county jail for a roach, a marijuana roach. And so I got nervous about that. I thought, well, you have to move faster. And then they had bennies, and so you take all these speeds, you know, so you can move faster to keep away from the police. But then you look too much and So they have to give you some Red Devils, and Red Devils are second all to knock your ass out. So then you think, you know, you... Blah, 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 blah. That's how I lived for year in and year out. That's just what I did, just running, having a good time. But, you know, they thought that we were in trouble because we would meet up at Griffith Park. We also would meet over there at the Panhandle, too. We had a Hippie Hill over there, and we just were wild, taking acid and, you know, being drunk and just running the streets. It was just loose back in the 60s. And so, you know, that's what I did. But it began to tell on you. It begins to tell on you. Keep going to jail on the weekend. They'd spoil your weekend. And you know, that's what we thought they did. You just busted me to spoil my weekend. And you know the policeman by name, you know, and all that. And you have your story ready. And then I met this guy from San Francisco. Actually, he lived on Akalani's Road over on the other side of the bay. And he was drunk. He was a lush, a real San Francisco lush, you know. And I told him, you are going to get in trouble in L.A., so take these pills. And because you can't stagger around like you can in San Francisco. And so we decided that we should shoot heroin because we were in love. I went and got some heroin, and we shot the heroin. And just, oh, I'm going to shoot this shit the rest of my life. So there I am, shooting heroin, running the streets, taking pills, acid. They invented DMT, STP, LSD, all those initial dope and everything. And I'm taking, they invented, what was that stuff? Angel dust. And yeah, angel dust. And I hated that shit. I really did, you know, because it makes you walk backwards, you know. And yeah. But I smoked it for 10 years, you know. Crazy, just crazy, you know. And by this time, my mother and father are looking at me going, Now, those of you that are black know what I'm talking about. When your mother looks at you and goes, I'm sure some white mothers can do it, too, but... they make you feel like a piece of caca, you know, and you just, you know, go on. And life is going on and on. I'm going to drug programs. They started them in L.A. to help the youth of Los Angeles, and I'm starting to go to all of them. And somehow or another, we made it through those. And I went to one for 22 months and stayed in this drug program and was armed with information, ready to face the world. And I stepped out of that program, and before the sun went down that day, I was drunk. And man, you know, so, yeah, you know, what are you going to just drink? You know, there's no sense in even trying, you know. So I made a decision that I was just going to quit using dope because that was illegal. That's why I kept getting handcuffed. So I thought I'll just drink wine. And so I had to pick the wine I wanted, and I picked Thunderbird. What's the word? Thunderbird. So I proceeded to drink Thunderbird wine and just live like that. By this time, I'm past my 30s. I'm up into my 40s. Things are getting shaky. I'm having convulsions. I would just have a convulsion just in the middle of a sentence and just, you know. And so, you know, that got been. I hit my friend in the head with a hammer, and he stabbed me in the lung. And I remember going to the hospital. My mother took me to the hospital, and they said, they sewed me up, and they said, your lung is gone. And they wouldn't give me no drugs. They wouldn't give me no drugs. Everybody else was getting drugs in the hospital. They wouldn't give me any, so I left. And so I swear my life had just come to, and I'm just making it run around. And my mother and father were sick of me because I had really caused a disgrace. You know how I'd just be a disgrace in the family. You know, nobody wants you around. And one time I was out on a quick run, and they packed up. They had an apartment built. They packed it up and moved away and didn't tell me where they went. You know, so I'm homeless now, you know. And so I'm living downtown in Skid Row, making drinking wine, and life had gotten shaky and shitty, you know, and shitty. I like to see him say that. Fuck her. Fuck her and fuck her too. Fuck you too. Anyway. Anyway, let's get this, well, wrap it up. I went to the picnic, family picnic in 1979, and got drunk there and acted ignorant. And the theme song that year was We Are Family by Sister Sledge. And yeah, that's the way I felt too, drunk. And you know, if you're drunk, you know, you think you look cute and can dance. And my old bald head self, I'm going to take my clothes out and weep. Our family, and I got naked, you know, and they say, oh no, get your uncle out of here, you know. They prayed for me that night, the whole family prayed for me that night, and said Donald needs to have some help, and at any rate, God heard him. And next day, I thought, I got to get somebody's got to help me. So I tore the yellow pages out of the thing and said, alcohol. And I found the Fifth Street. I said five. I knew that was between four and six. My brain was gone. And mooch the dime, called this place. The lady said, who you coming in? And I had to get down there, and the streetcars were on strike. There was no buses. And some guy, some vato from El Salvador, was eating a pupusa. I said, if he could give me a ride. And he gave me a ride and dropped me off at this place. I went in. The lady said, sit down. You're the one that called. And she said, are you serious about doing something about this problem? And I told her, yes, lady, I'm serious. And she said, well, do you have a gay problem? I thought, oh, no, she didn't ask me that. I said, lady, I'm gay, but that's not the problem. I said, it's this wine that's killing me. And she knew it. And she recommended that I tell him I wanted to go to the Van Ness Recovery House in Hollywood, a new lake. I couldn't remember the next day for love nor money. They said, where you want to go? I couldn't remember. It said, the gay recovery house. And this man acted like I slapped him, and he backed away. But a lady with red hair swooped around him and said, I'll help him. She did. That lady called up the Van Ness house and talked for me. And she said, they're going to take you. And I made it on the Van Ness house. That through a series of circumstances were miraculous. I look back and think how everything just went perfect, you know. I get in the door, and Bill says to me, what do you know about Alcoholics Anonymous? And I'm 43 years old in Los Angeles. I said, nothing. I had never heard of AA in my life, you know? And so he said, well, what are you willing to do? And I said, anything. That was it. Alcohol and drugs had kicked my natural ass. You know, I surrendered. I surrendered right then. He said, we have a book here, and we read it, and it was like a command to my brain. And my first day of sobriety, I went and got the big book out of the library and read her. I read Miss Big Book the first day. There's no piece of literature that has ever been written on earth that is so important to me and to people like us. That place, that thing tells the truth. It is in there. It tells you. It puts it in every kind of way that you could think of, every kind of way. But and you think it'll be a loophole. There's no loophole, sonny. You are an asshole. You have been an asshole your whole life. You blame everybody. You walk self-pity and everything. And I remember reading that chapter 5, and I put that book down. I said, woo, I got, man, I wonder if I'll be able to do this. And I thought, you got to do it, Donald. You got to do it. And that's what I've been doing for 31 years. I've been got to do this. I do this thing. There's nothing more precious, to me than this thing we call Alcoholics Anonymous. It is more important to me than my next breath, really. And so I try to pass it on. I try to make sure other people got it and know what to do. I tell all the kids in the family. I got a whole bunch of babies. I sponsor them. I go do this. I go do that. And I love to come to places like this where I can tell you what God has done for me. So you can remember that you could be happy too. You know, and this is the best thing that's happened to me. I'm going to read this. I never do it, but she read something, so I'm going to read something. Everybody had notes, and I've been criticizing them, but I'm going to read this. God has not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, and undying love. Let's all go have some chicken. Thank you.
You've enjoyed this recording. To obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.